everyone. I'm Mike Urbans, and welcome to It's Your Water. I'm glad you found us. Hey, let's face it, folks. There's a lot of us great at our jobs, but we're lousy managers. I mean, me included. I'm really good at my tech thing, but kind of bad at managing the whole thing. That's why I have Denise, and she's not here today, but we have a special guest. But we get frustrated, you know, when we have to manage our day-to-day stuff. I do. I'm like a tiger. I want to get in there. I want to solve problems and all that. That could really mire your business in mediocrity. So what do? You get help, okay? So that's why we're here today. And my guest is Anthony Marquet. Did I say it right?
You did.
Good. And like Parquet. And he's the business development manager for Sharpwater Culligan. It's a big dynasty in the Philadelphia area. Culligan Dynasty just happened to be one of my very, very good friends. Owns and runs that bugger. But, well, does he run it much anymore? Yes, he does.
He still does.
But he's got an Anthony. And this is what we're going to talk about. Anthony manages the four stores for the Sharpwater chain in and about the Philadelphia, southern New Jersey, right? Berlin.
Yep. West Berlin.
Dover, Delaware. Salisbury, Maryland. So it's a really diverse area.
It really is.
Yeah. As far as water quality. But I said, we're not going to talk about water quality. We're going to talk about managing your company today and why Anthony was hired to manage and motivate the Sharpwater associates to be the best they can be. Hello, Anthony.
How you doing?
Good, good.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Yeah, glad. You know, we've been around for, you know, and been at some shows, and yep. I said, what exactly do you do? and he told me, and I said, I think this is going to be a good podcast.
Interesting topic, right.
Finally, here we are. So tell me, before we start, tell us, I always like to hear some background. What did you do? What was leading up to this?
I think like here? Most people, I came from a different path that water kind of found me. Mm-hmm. I didn't find it. I came from the insurance background, finance. And right out of high school, door-to-door knocking, cool. Selling health insurance. What a drag that was.
Hey.
Yeah.
And then build your skills.
Yeah, you kind of expand. You go to life insurance, and then I developed that into wholesaling. So I got into the recruiting aspect and managing really high-end producers. Mm-hmm. Got up to about 1,500 agents.
Cool.
Industry was good. And then things kind of fell apart with ACA. And I tried to look for another home, and the water kind of found me.
How did it find you?
It's a completely different industry. It's just absolutely the opposite side of the spectrum of what I'm used to. Selling from an intangible to an intangible item in water, something that you need.
Yeah.
A commodity.
That puts it in perspective.
It does.
Yeah. So you had the props and the skills and get into motivate salespeople, get them out there and say, hey, here's your product. But a lot of my customer base could probably benefit from what we're going to talk about today, because a lot of them are mom and pop, small guys that are looking to expand, to say, how do I take that next step of saying, step back? And it scares a lot of guys because financially, it's a big step. You're going to hire a top gun guy to come in and say, look, you do what you do best. I'm going to do what I do best. And hopefully, I'm going to perform and get your business to the next level. So my question is, do all companies need an Anthony? What about the little guy who dreams big? I mean, what could you tell him, share?
Well, I don't know that I would be ego enough to say they need an Anthony, but they... any company that, one, values their retention and employees, mm-hmm. and two, is on a growth cycle, would definitely benefit from someone who's at least sales-driven in management and leadership, no doubt about it. As far as a little guy that wants to grow, mm-hmm. has aspirations to be the next big guy, mm-hmm. has to learn to scale, doesn't he, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the scary part. So now you're scaling and it's managing all these different people, and if you go out and hire that big gun,
yep.
That could be intimidating.
Yes,
but,
could.
You know, that being said, you have to learn how to manage these high-end producers. They can be a little bit, out of control.
Like stallions.
You need that swagger. You definitely need it. You have to have that in a home. And there's always, in any industry, conflict of service and sales.
Yeah.
Always. It's going to be there. So you've got to manage that properly.
Yeah.
And then once you do that, make sure that we're all on the same team. It should be a little bit easier. Nothing's easy, but it should be a little bit easier.
That was one of the big challenges. I get out there, I'm in sales, and I talk and I try to motivate some companies. Sometimes mostly, say, the plumbing or well drilling outfits. They want to motivate their technicians into becoming salespeople. Mm-hmm. And that's so difficult. And I to get them to say, hey, just, you know, you're in there. Why not? You're replacing an appliance that was completely battered by the water. Why don't you say, hey, oh, by the way, I'll have a guy come in and test your water. And it's very difficult for them to make that jump.
It is.
To get this.
And there's companies that do it, and they do it very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who do it very, very well, they start there. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is they're recruiting a tech that can sell.
Uh-huh.
If you just hire a tech and then change your model 3 years down the line and say, we're going to get you to sell, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not salespeople.
Right.
You can train to be better at sales. There's no doubt about it. But a lot of people get into that type of industry hands-on because they're not good at talking to people.
Right.
They don't want to be in sales.
Yep.
So now you're pushing a rope trying to generate sales with someone who cannot sell. That would be the same thing, Mike, as taking that high-end sales rep and putting them in a service truck. How well are we going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing.
Yeah, this is BS. I don't want to do this.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
It's not my skill set.
It's not my skill set. And you feel comfortable. You got to feel comfortable with your skill set.
And confident. Very, very confident in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. If you're not, the customer sees right through that. Doesn't matter if you're a tech or a sales rep, they see right through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, think about the tech that's sitting in a basement and he's fumbling through because he doesn't know what he's doing and he's grabbing his phone. Mm-hmm. He's uncomfortable. The customer's uncomfortable. Everybody's uncomfortable. So it's the same thing with a sales rep in a home. They have to be very comfortable in that house.
Mm-hmm. And believe in the product too. They want to believe that absolutely improving the quality of these person's lives.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
And that's what we do in water industry. You know, that's the good
part. That's what
we
tell ourselves too, right? That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
But so, yeah, absolutely. So is there like a template or resources that people for these guys?
Is there a template? Yeah, there's hundreds of templates. So, you know, pick your poison. You know, what we do here, if I was to choose a template, I'll tell you one that's worked for us.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell if it worked for everybody, but for us.
Yeah.
You know, as a company, even if it's that little guy, mom and pop that wants to grow, you've got to define your core values first.
Okay.
You'd be like, ours is right behind you on that wall, right? And just to paraphrase just a couple of them, I mean, just think about an example would be we value relationships, or we're definitely driven to provide an excellent customer service, period. Mm-hmm. You know, and as far as the employee's concerned, you know, you definitely want to embrace personal growth for that employee. So that's just some examples of some core values. Everyone's going to have their own core values. And a lot of companies spend millions of dollars to come up with their own value system.
Right.
Once you have core value in place, that's what you recruit to. You start there when you're building your team. So you're building a team around your core values first. That's paramount,
right?
Because you have someone on that team that doesn't believe in what you're doing, doesn't matter how good they are.
Yeah,
it's like Terrell Owens on the Eagles. It didn't work out, did it?
It didn't work out.
Second best, was arguably one of the best receivers in the game, didn't win us a Super Bowl, right?
No.
So you have to agree with the core values. You have to be in line with those core values. And if you do that mid process, and there's people in the room that no longer or never did meet those core values, it's time to maybe reposition or unfortunately make a change. And that's part of it. That's building the team. That's building it from within, and that's absolutely recruiting. Second part I would say is, this is the hard part, and it's painful for a lot of old school managers to hear, is you got to fire the boss and hire the coach. Because this is 2024. No one likes being told what to do. You know, as a business owner too, how hard is it today to recruit? How hard is it to find a good help?
No, it's near impossible.
Near impossible.
Yeah.
And part of it is people just do not need to be told what to do all day. They want to be coached. That's why I go to personal development a lot.
Okay.
You know, what's in it for them? Personal development is key. So when you're telling somebody what to do all day, it's my way or the highway, it doesn't work anymore.
Mm-mm.
You got to be the coach. So you set a vision. Here's the dream. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And here's how I'm going to help you get there. And that's what we do.
Yeah.
That's
it. A lot of it's monetary. I mean, that's the bottom line, I guess, right?
You would be surprised. Not everyone's motivated by money.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you and I may be.
Yeah.
A sales rep may be.
Right.
But the tech that you hired, he may have different what's in it for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it may not always be money. It could be more personal growth. So that's it. And you know, you're setting absolutely, when I say crystal clear expectations of what you expect out of them. And here's another hard part that most managers don't get. What do they expect out of us as a manager?
Right.
Give you an example. We do a coaching session with a manager and employee here. We break it down into three different sections: communication, execution, and follow-up. Communication is the hard part.
Yeah.
So it's top three things I need out of you as the employee. Mm-hmm. But then I turn the table around and I would ask you as the employee, Mike, what are the top three things you need from me to help you get that done?
And that's tough.
That's difficult.
That's tough for a business owner.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So once you get past that and then you're executing and simply following up, makes it so much easier because they feel like, because you genuinely are, looking out for them and their best interest.
Yeah.
Zig Ziglar said it best.
Yeah.
You help enough people get what you want, you'll have anything in the life you want.
Yeah.
Said it best.
It's funny. My first going down memory lane, I've been in the WQA, Water Quality Association, since 1988.
Yeah.
I haven't missed one except for a death in a family.
Yep.
And even then, I was going to, no, just kidding. But I was going to go. It's that important. The first one I went to, it was in Dallas, and they had Zig Ziglar.
Really?
As the motivational speaker.
He was great.
And I got every pearl of wisdom that he did. Yeah. And he was truly the pioneering motivational guy.
He really was.
And a lot of things stuck with me. And I remember that. And I remember exactly that. And one was, prepare your life like you're going on vacation. How come what you get all your stuff together just before you go on vacation? I'm going on vacation. I got to get everything. Why don't you do that every day?
Yep.
Like you're going on vacation. So there's a lot of good resources like that out there.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah. He was.
And today's technology, like look at us today.
Yeah.
This is insane. With podcasts like this.
Here we are.
I mean, the internet just throws everything around. When I was listening to Zig Ziglar when I got started, I was using a cassette in my car.
Cassette, now, yeah.
Showing my age. And you had dozens of them and you keep flipping them and
flipping them over. Yeah. But I had a word builder. So I had a vocabulary builder and it didn't work. And on Front Street in Philadelphia, imagine what happened. Windows broken, cassette players ripped out of the.
Yep.
He ejected the word builder vocabulary and he put it on the center console. I said, oh, okay.
God.
But anyway, we digress. But it's still. So that is a very good point. You know, looking at yourself and having those points for people to build that team.
Yeah.
You know, this, you know, of course, will be, we have a transcript so people can go back and review. What motivates, you know, we were saying that, what motivates people, it was a good point. Sometimes it's not just
it's not dineros. Always, you know, really it comes down to when you're, and it's this is any relationship. Doesn't matter if it's a management or any relationship. You know, what's in it for me?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think that way. They're asking that question, what's in it for them?
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you can connect those dots and show them that you have their best interest, this should be okay. And this is what I try to convey to even our managers, sales reps. Everybody needs to be the hero of their own story. Why is a book always better than a movie, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
we're not seeing it through a director's eyes, and we're connecting dots of what that hero is. And hey, I could be that guy or gal or whoever. Yeah, yeah. I put the cape on and I can do it.
Yeah,
everyone
dream.
Needs to be their own hero.
Yeah.
The managers need to make sure that we're the sales rep, or anybody that they're under, has to be the hero of their own story. Has to be. Cannot be coming from me. Has to be coming from you. I'm just here to help facilitate whatever your goals and aspirations are at this company. And hopefully you can tie that into them personally, and then you have somebody for life because you're building a proper relationship.
Yeah. 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 And that's so important.
It is, but it's often overlooked. Most people that I've sat in an interview never asked what I'm looking for. They're basically dictating what they need from you. Then they write a job description telling you that's the same thing. This is what I need from you. But how many times does the boss say, this is what I'm going to do for you. Mm-hmm. This is how I'm going to help you get there.
Yeah.
That's missing.
Yeah.
That's missing. So
it, is.
It helps.
I mean, the funny thing is, it's about ego too with the managers.
Checking at the door.
Checking at the door. Because I aspire to an extremely high level of motivation, and I want you to do that too.
Right.
How come you can't do that? You know, and that's the thing. And you try not to have that come across. You have to be humble. It's very tough for somebody like, you know, me to get humble and the manager to get humble.
True. And if you don't have your people prepared and on the same page, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. Peak performance is always limited to the highest level of preparation, period. So if you're not preparing your people, that's your limit. Doesn't matter what we write on the target sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what goals we're making. If we're not preparing our people and getting them to help us get there,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to get there.
Going off script a little bit here, how did you get through, I think you were here during the pandemic?
Yeah.
Yeah. And manage the people out of that I'm staying home realm. And now this is the biggest challenges I see with getting people back focused. And I think it's been 4 years. I think you've probably done it. But just the meetings, all that old school way of doing things seems to have shifted. And
definitely shifted.
And get that back in the physical plant, have the meetings, talk to me, that one-on-one, not over a screen, is a challenge.
It was a challenge during the scare. And if I had to invest in any stock and I missed this one, it would have been Zoom, right at 2020.
It's a lot of them.
It's a lot. Me. I missed that one. And, you know, so we've all adapted to doing things like that. And we still do it to this day because we got used to it and realized, you know what? I don't have to drive around to Salisbury and Dover, and people don't have to collaborate to Dover all at once. We can do this via Zoom. So we adapted. You know, we just changed the way we did business because at the end of the day, look at how many people are working from home today.
Yeah. Oh, my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they just mandated 3 days.
Yeah.
Got to go back.
Got to go back. Yeah. And I don't even get that. If someone can work from home, let them work from home. If they can do it remotely and get their job done just as effectively as they can sitting here, what are we making them drive in for?
Exactly.
This is the way we all need to start changing our thinking because the kids today, and I have children that are in college, they all work from home. Yeah. I got one son that works here. He's a tech. The rest of them, they work from home. And they're like us. They got the headphones in and they're just answering the phone. They're doing all this from home. The world is definitely changing. And if you don't adapt, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? But then, you know, your customer's at home too. So, but that's a good thing.
That was a good thing during the pandemic. Now, we didn't go in the home.
Right.
We would just drop off a water bottle.
Yeah.
They have them fill it. And then we come back and pick it back up, test the water, and do everything virtual.
Mm-hmm.
So he adapted. And by the way, we had a very good year.
Yeah. Oh, everybody. And we were very lucky, unfortunately, for people in the hospitality industry.
It's a shame.
I mean, just to look at the looks on their face, you know, but we're in infrastructure and that's benefited. We came out of it, but the managing of the supply chain, there's a podcast on that. How we came out of that. And I still see a little bit of some delay in manufacturing.
Yep.
Some getting inventory.
Yep.
Yep. So what qualities make a great team?
Mm.
What qualities do you look for in a human being?
That's a tough question.
No.
So it, obviously, everyone has to be following their own path. So if you follow what we try to do in management and making sure that we've listened to our employees personally. Mm-hmm. The only time I'm talking to an employee is when they did something wrong, we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Better be talking to them, getting to know them a little bit better. And if, as long as we get the teams to make sure they're not looking over each other's shoulder.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the sales and the service side. Make sure they follow their own path. Now, that's your job as a manager to create that for them. You know, where do you want to go in this company? You have to make sure for every team that they, I said this before, you have to have a crystal clear career path of where they're going. Mm-hmm. And as long as you keep them on that and they stay in their lane, mm-hmm. you should be okay. But I always go back to and listen to, you're a sports guy too. Any World Series, the end of any NBA game, you just listen to Patrick Mahomes do it. They all sound the same, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Right? It's so like, every speech is,
I want to thank my guys, thank, my team.
Yeah, we just, resilience is a number one thing, you know, and we just all hung in together. We believed in each other as a team. Yeah. We believed in that common vision or the core values, which we talked about mm-hmm. earlier. They all sound the same. They're all very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're looking for. That's easier to say on a plaque than it is to actually build it. But you've literally got to walk that walk every day. And if as long as they trust you and you're doing, if you can turn the table on them, now what do you need for me to support? That's so important. It builds trust. Once you have that, you should be okay.
Yeah. I mean, and you could see the, Denise would say, the momentum.
Yeah.
We lost the momentum, but the Chiefs gained the momentum. Yeah. And they overcome.
Yep.
They overcome all this stuff. And we always use the sports analogy in business because it's damn close.
It's
you want to win the game.
Thing we have.
Yeah, you want to win the game.
Yep.
Maybe they teach business courses in the locker rooms.
I think it's the opposite. I've been to quite a few sales conferences, and they use sports as a common analogy. And it really is, to your point, Mike. It's a common analogy. It's the same thing. You've got a group of guys on that field, 12 at a time in the NFL, and they have one common goal. They got to get the ball into the end zone. But they all have completely different jobs.
Yeah.
Jason Kelce doesn't want to catch the ball or drive it into the end zone. It's not his gig. He's there to create the lead block, right?
Yeah.
And as long as you stay in your lane, he's completely happy with not having the glory of having the ball in the end zone.
Right.
Right? So that's the important part.
He's the glory of helping getting the ball.
Exactly right.
And that's where the techs come in.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
If sales guy believes that he's got the best tech team,
what a game changer.
He's like, he goes in that house with his shoulders square and looking the people in the eye, saying, I got the best techs on the planet.
Absolutely. Goes on the flip side too. If that tech knows he has a rep that he can count on and he's in the home and he's talking to him and setting the plate. No, listen, maybe you need to talk to my guy, Chris. He's a water specialist. He'll come over and he'll test the water and see how we can go. Tremendous teamwork if you do that. You're just mending bridges and getting it done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just so important. But what else did we cover here? We got our team, how we get our team motivated, how to get them, you know, the common goal, the vision. So important.
So important.
So you write yourself a vision. You sit down.
Yep.
And you have a soul searching, like, why am I in this business?
Why are we here?
Yeah. What's my goal? Do I just want to stay mom and pop? That's fine too.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. The world needs them.
Yeah. I just want to be here and do the best I can. And this is as far as I want to go.
Yeah.
But you want to take that next leap. You got to search out there for an Anthony.
You got to fire the boss and hire the coach.
That's perfect. That's probably a perfect way we should leave it. So, yeah, I mean, thanks for your time here. As you could tell, we were actually in the office, so there's lots of bangs and bumps in the conference room, but doing a live one, usually I don't do them live. Yeah. I do.
It's a hustle and a bustle in here. We're moving.
It's good.
We are moving.
You've been very successful, and I really appreciate it. You know that, so.
Likewise. Thank you.
Sure. Well, everybody, thanks, Anthony, and trust the frog, everybody. Thanks. Bye.